If you're junior high age and you missed the slide as I did, you're welcome to head out if you haven't already. Wasn't that great worship? Tyler and I were just down in Post Falls, Idaho. And I know you all know where that is. It's Coeur d'Alene is a suburb of Post Falls, Idaho, as they put it. And I just kind of felt that I'd never left there for a minute with the worship this morning. But thank you guys. That was great. We're in a series about boats, and we're really looking at what happens in the storms of life. When things happen in our lives, where do we turn? And this morning we're thinking of two things, kind of trouble and temptation, but just this whole thing is, what are we relying on? What are we trusting on? Where do we go when things happen? And in your bulletins are some sermon notes. You're welcome to follow along. I filled in all the gaps for you, or the titles for you this time, so you can just write down in the white space what God's saying to you this morning. But we're in this kind of series where we're using a nautical analogy. That's my big words for the day, just to kind of help us understand the spiritual life through the physical world. And because I just happen to like boats, and because I think boats kind of work for this thing, we've been kind of looking at that. We got one or two more, and then we'll be done. And but whether you're kind of here this morning as a kind of new follower of Jesus, or you're kind of seeking out, does this Christianity thing make any difference? Does it work? Or maybe this morning, you've been a Christian for a long time, and God just, I think, has something for us at whatever level we're at this morning. Because I think we all have storms in our lives. I think that's just the way it is. There's that saying, in every life a storm will come. Back in Vancouver, we used to say, all sunshine makes a desert. And we had no idea what that meant, but we used to say it back there because, it only rains 360 days of the year. And but these storms come in, and I think it's kind of a couple of storms, and I got them in your notes there. The first one is trouble. One of the storms that happens is life just kind of falls apart on us. What we're thinking and hoping happens doesn't happen. And when you get into trouble, you got kind of three places you can turn, just to make life simple. You got three places. You can trust in yourself. You can kind of muscle up and say, if it has to be, it's up to me. And you can trust and rely on yourself. That's the Western Calgary way. You can turn to God, and you can trust in God, whatever that means. Or you can trust in something else. A lot of people in times of trouble turn to alcohol or drugs. They turn to something to take their mind off it. They turn to friends. They turn to something. But I'm guessing that you got to do one of those three. So the disciples, after Jesus died and rose again and went back to heaven, started the church. And they started in Jerusalem, which is exactly the place that Jesus had died. And the persecution that Jesus faced, they began to face. And so in your sermon notes there, in Acts 5, so Acts is a story of the new church. So Acts 5, there's 28 chapters. So in chapter 5, you're not very far into the story. And at that time, the captain of the temple went with his officers and brought the apostles, who we would call disciples. They didn't use force because they feared the people would stone them, because the people were unsure of what was going on at this point with this new kind of teaching about Jesus. But the apostles were brought in and made to stand before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. And the last time they had done that was with Jesus, and he died. So when they were arrested and brought in, this is not, they've seen this movie before, and it didn't end really good. And the captain and the Sanhedrin and the high priest said to them, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in Jesus' name, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching." I just love the way that they put that. This is like a few thousand people, and they've changed a city in a few years. "You have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you're determined to make us guilty of Jesus' blood." And Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings." And in that time of trouble, they had to sit there in a minute and think, now what am I going to turn to? Am I going to turn and trust myself? Am I going to turn and trust something else? Or am I going to trust God? And they simply said, "We must obey God because we trust Him and we believe in Him." And the question this morning is, when you run into times of trouble in your life, where do you turn? Where do you turn when things don't go well? Where do you turn when things aren't going right? But the second thing is, you know, maybe you're not in a time of trouble right now, but you're in a time of temptation. And I think that happens very easily as well. So over the page in your notes there, this is when Jesus was just starting out his ministry. You remember he got baptized, and then he was led into the desert where he spent 40 days being tempted by Satan. And we always tell people, you know, when you get baptized, the next week is going to be a challenge for you. Because whenever you step forward for God, you're going to get Satan's kind of having a go at you. Whenever you step forward in faith and say, well, I'm going to start giving more, I'm going to start reading more, I'm going to start praying more, I'm going to start serving more, whatever it is you do where you step forward for God, there's always going to be resistance. So that's just a free takeaway. Had nothing to do with the sermon, but you can put a little extra in the plate this week because you got two. All right? You good with that? Or as Reese would say, amen? Amen. Okay. So here's right after Jesus gets baptized, he gets led in the desert, and Satan tempts him with three different temptations. The one I chose was the one where the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And Satan says, all this I will give you if you will bow down and worship me. And so, you know, Satan has power in this world. He doesn't have all power. He doesn't have more power than God, but he has power. That's why things get messed up. And Satan says, I'll just back out if you just worship me. Jesus came to die so that that would happen. Satan offers him an easy way out. And Jesus just turns to him and says, no, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And Jesus, that moment, was kind of, what do I do in the middle of temptation? Who do I trust? Do I trust in myself? Do I trust in someone else? Well, there is nothing else around here. You know, it'd be great to have a friend. You know, great to just quickly speed dial someone up and say, what do I do? What do I do? It would be great, you know, to have a horoscope that would tell you stuff. It would be great, you know, if just the circumstances, you know, sometimes we get guided by circumstances. Not always a great way to get guided, by the way. But Jesus turns to God and he quotes God's word and he relies on God's spirit. And in times of trouble, when we see someone who's going through a time of trouble and they're just trusting God and they're just have an inner peace about them, or when we see people that are in times of these temptations where we're tempted to do stuff but they don't, we kind of have a phrase for that. We call it that they're well grounded. Some things, you know, I mean, you may not say that, but that's what I say. You know, that they're grounded in something. There's something deep about them. Which is what leads me to the boat image. And it's this whole idea of anchoring. And that when we're in times of trouble and in times of temptation, we need to be anchored to something if that's not going to overwhelm us. And so the question this morning is simply, what is your life anchored to? And I don't know if you ever thought of it in that term before. And I'm going to give you a couple of suggestions that you probably never thought of, that were even options. And I think we're going to find that in our lives, part of us is anchored to all of these. So it's not like, I'm anchored to God. Well, yeah, you probably are, but in all areas of your life? Let's explore that. Or, you know, I'm not anchored to God, but maybe in some areas of your life you really are, and God's already a little bit at work. So anchors are probably the simplest things to explain. Here's one. This is an anchor. Don's folks had a cabin on the ocean, and they were out walking one day, and this was washed up on the beach. So anytime an anchor's washed up on the beach, that's bad news for somebody. But it was good news for them. So anyway, when they sold their cabin, nobody wanted it but me. So I got an anchor. So where can I stand where you can see my anchor? Here it is. So anchors are really simple, right? These are called flukes. They're what dig into the ground. This is called a shaft. And this is called a stalk. And this is called a ring. Isn't that creative? So how an anchor works is the flukes dig into the ground. Aren't you glad you came? I mean, you learned something deep this morning. But you know why there's a stalk? A stalk, you know, come over here for a second. A stalk is what stops the anchor from lying sideways and not digging in. Because of that, it will flip over. And when you put pressure on, it will force the flukes into the ground. So you have an anchor, you have a piece of chain on here. Rule of thumb is your length of chain is the same length as your boat, and then you can go to anchor line unless you have like a cruise ship or you're Jimmy Patterson. And you have a cruise ship, and then you chain all the way up. But you have a piece of chain on here, and all the chain does is it keeps the anchor horizontal. It's weighting it down so the boat doesn't pull it up, because if it pulls it up, it's going to pull the anchor out of the out of the ground. So that's basically all there is to an anchor. It's just that kind of simple thing. And we got our boat, and we didn't know much about it. And so when you go boating, you can either pay to tie up or you can anchor for free, if you know me at all. We didn't pay to tie up but once in the whole years we owned our boat, and we were out for a month at a time. But we didn't know what to do, so we went out with Don's brother, who was a great boater. And we went to the fireworks. You remember the fireworks in Vancouver? They have 4 days of fireworks, 4 nights of fireworks. Unbelievable. If you go to the beach, there's literally hundreds of thousands of people on the beach. And then everybody brings their boat. And you bring your boat and you just anchor there in English Bay, and you can watch the fireworks. And it's really wonderful until everybody pulls up their anchor after drinking all night. And in the middle of the night, where most of them have never boated at night before, we all head under the Lionsgate Bridge together. And, you know, it's always just this great adventure. So we decided, if you learn to anchor, you might as well learn to anchor in the midst of a real big crowd on a busy night. You know, where else would you go to do that? You know, it's kind of learning to drive on Deerfoot in rush hour. So we went out there, and he said, well, I'll give you a quick lesson anchoring. This is how you do it. You stop the boat. That's always a good thing to do. You lower the anchor off the front. You figure out how deep the water is, how much rope you need, all that kind of stuff. And then you just slowly back the boat up. As you snug off the rope, just keep backing the boat up until it won't back up anymore, and that means your anchor's dug into the ground and you're anchored. And then you open the cooler and celebrate. And that's all there is. That's really all there is to anchoring, you know, except for when it doesn't work. So it's this idea of anchoring, and I just want to kind of suggest this morning that is a really great image of our relationship to God in times of trial and times of temptation. And I want to suggest there's four ways we can anchor, of which probably the first two really aren't. But in your notes, the first one is just this whole idea that some of us aren't anchored to anything. Some of us are sort of drifting through life. We don't have any fixed opinions. We're Canadians, you know. And Canadians have this, well, you know, I kind of believe this and I kind of believe that. And I know you believe that, and that's good for you. And, you know, this is good for me. And we really have no fixed belief. We kind of go with the winds and the tides, and we kind of go through life, and that's all good until something happens. When storms come up, we sometimes need an anchor. So I was reading, I don't even remember where I was reading it, but Mitt Romney, if you remember Mitt Romney, was running for office in the States, and he was telling the story. He said, we were out in our little motorboat, 15-foot motorboat. Mitt was trying to, you know, I'm not really a millionaire running for office. I'm just a humble guy with a 15-foot outboard. And he said, we're out in our little boat, and we had some friends with us, and we're about to go water skiing, and the guy said, do you have an anchor on board? And Mitt kind of said, you know, I kind of thought it was a strange question on a ski boat. Like, he said, yeah, I think so. He said, well, do you mind checking? And he said, yeah. So we went and, you know, checked the little cubby in the front. And sure enough, there was his anchor was there, you know, little guy. And he said, can I ask you why you asked that? And he said, well, it's kind of a sad story, but I'll tell you the story if you want. He says, we went water skiing with someone else one time. And as we were water skiing, the guy who was water skiing fell. And it was sort of a windy day, and there was a bit of waves out there, and he just kind of wiped out. And as we turned around to get him, we ran over the ski rope. And it wrapped around the propeller, and it stalled the motor. And he said, we couldn't get the ski rope unwrapped from the propeller. And because we couldn't get it unwrapped, we couldn't get the motor started. And because we couldn't get the motor started, the boat began to drift with the wind. And because like 90% of the boat's above the water, it drifted faster than the guy who was water skiing. And although he was wearing his life jacket, he was getting left behind as we got pushed down the lake by the wind. And so the guy said, my son grabbed his life jacket and jumped in with the other guy, but they were getting further and further behind, and our boat was getting pushed further and further, and we kept desperately trying to unwrap the rope from the prop, and we couldn't do it, and we couldn't get the motor started, and we got pushed, and finally we got pushed to the shore. And we managed to get out, and then we saw these people, and they were coming, and we only saw one person coming. And he said it turned out that in all the waves and all the confusion and stuff, the guy who was skiing somehow slipped out of his jacket and he drowned. And he said because we didn't have an anchor, we couldn't stay where we were. And I mean, he might have needed a million feet of line to stay where he was, but he says, you know, the fact that we didn't have an anchor meant that the boat didn't stay where it was and we couldn't stay together. And Mitt kind of finished that thing by saying, you know, I've learned in life it helps to have anchors. And let me quote him. He says, it helps to have understanding and values that are so superb that you can anchor your life and anchor all things you're doing to that value that's permanent and enduring. And then Romney said, my family is my anchor, my wife, my kids. Those elements of my life have brought me more joy than I've ever imagined. Now, I just kind of wonder this morning, are you anchored to something? Is your life anchored? Or this morning, are you just kind of going through life saying, well, you know, I think I kind of believe in everything and it's all good. And, you know, there's nothing fixed and firm. You know, you just have to do your best. If it's up to me, you know, it's going to be, it's up to me. And, you know, we're just going through life that way. Or maybe this morning you think you're anchored to something more permanent than that. But are there aspects of your life that you're not anchored in? Are there decisions that you make? Are there parts of your life where you just kind of go along with the flow? You know, just shaped by the work culture, by your friend culture, by the TV culture, by just drifting, in a sense, in parts of our lives. Are we anchored to something? The second one comes out of that. If we are anchored to something, what is it we're anchored to? And the second one is rafting on. The second way people anchor. When we'd go boating in the summer, we had a pretty small boat compared to what everybody else had. It was big enough for us to stay. It's the size of a truck and camper, basically, you know. So, you know, we'd raft up with some friends. So we'd meet some friends. We had good friends from Oregon that we'd meet most years. And rather than anchoring separately, you know, and either swimming between the boats or rowing between the boats, because we didn't have one of those nice little outboard things to go between the boats, what you would do is you would just tie your boat onto the other guy's boat. And it's called rafting on. So we would just come alongside, you know, he'd be anchored. We'd just come alongside and we'd tie onto him. And because he had a big boat and he had a big anchor, we just sat on his anchor. You know, the weight of our boat compared to the weight of his boat, the difference was insignificant for the anchor. And so we would just raft on. And it wasn't unusual. You could have a whole whack of boats. So what you do is you line up your transoms, the back end of your boat, because on boats like that, usually you have a walkthrough. And so it kind of makes a hallway like this, and then all the boats kind of go out this way. And so they're different lengths at the front, but they're all the same length at the back. And you can't see it in that picture, because I can't see it in that picture, because we are getting a new projector that's going to show us these pictures. But boat number from the left, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Second one from the right is the only boat that has an anchor down. There's only one anchor line in that picture, if you could see it more clearly. They're all sitting on one anchor. And as long as it's calm, the water's nice, that's great. And I think we do that in life. We don't have a faith, but we raft onto someone else's faith. Some of you this morning who are, you know, with your parents here, you're rafted onto your parents' faith. Some of you are parents. Your kids are rafted onto your faith. They don't have a faith their own. They're trusting your faith. It's your God that they're worshiping. It's your church that they're coming to. Some of you this morning who are husband and wife and girlfriend and boyfriend or whatever, but you're here and maybe you don't have your own faith. It's just, I'm coming because it's their God. I'm coming because it's their church. I'm coming to be the good husband. I'm coming to be the good wife. I'm coming to be the good friend. Maybe this morning, you don't have a faith of your own. You're on somebody else's faith. You know where I see that? I see that at work. I hear this all the time. I hear people saying, you know, I've been talking to my coworker about God. And I've been real subtle about it. But I tell him, you know, hey, I was at church and the pastor preached another awesome sermon. You should come hear him. He's so good. Yeah, I know. I don't hear that one ever. But anyway, you know, but we have a great church. It's all good. You should come. You know, we got this happening. We got that happening. You know, we got the Total Children's Choir coming. You should come hear them. Whatever we do, you know, we say this to our friends. And they say, oh, that's great for you. You know, I'm good, you know. And there's just nothing there until, you know, their father has a heart attack. Their wife gets cancer. Something happens. And all of a sudden they come to you. And they tell you the story, and they either ask or you volunteer, and you take all your courage up in your heart, and you say to them, hey, could I pray for you about that? Or, hey, I'll be praying about that with you. And they say, thank you. And what have they done? They have just rafted onto your faith. They have no faith in God of their own. They can't pray because they don't know who this God is. They got no idea how to pray. But they've now rafted onto your faith. And that's great. That's a great place to start. Just the trouble is you can't keep rafted on forever. At some point, you got to put your own anchor down. At some point, you got to be your own person with faith in God. But they can't pray because in the midst of the storm, they can't do that, but they can raft onto us. And here's the question for us. Is our anchor strong enough to hold two boats now? Or three? Or six? So we raft on. We have this, we're trusting in something. Now here's what I got out of Romney's thing. Just go back to that. He said, my family is my anchor. My wife, my kids, those elements of my life have brought me more joy than I can imagine. Now here's the question. What happens when your family is the storm? What happens when your anchor is now the storm? Then what do you raft onto? You're rafted onto your family, but now your family's going through crisis. What happens to that? You know, where you've rafted onto something that's not secure. It's a good place to start, but I wouldn't sit there too long in a storm. When we're rafted up and the storms come, we all move apart. We want our boats to be able to move independently. We don't want them to bang against each other and stuff like that. But when you're in the midst of the storm, as Romney says, you know, my family is my anchor. Whatever you think your anchor is this morning, if you're just kind of here exploring faith, at some point, you've got to put down your own anchor. Which leads us into the last two. Third thing we can be is we can be wrongly anchored. There's this kind of mantra today. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe, you know. Believe in Buddhism. Well, Buddhism doesn't believe in God, but, you know, it's a great philosophy. Or believe in Hinduism. Hinduism believes in literally millions of gods, you know, so you can have no God, or you can have millions of gods. You can believe in Islam, which has one God, but he's not the same as our God. Or you can believe in our God, which is a trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And, you know, and there's this belief, it's not important what you believe in. What's important is that you believe in, you know, it means that whatever you anchor to is okay. As long as you're anchored, you're good. I've boated just about long enough to know that what you anchor to matters. We were in Indian Arm. Indian Arm is a continuation of the harbor in Vancouver. If you go to the harbor, you hit Deep Cove or Port Moody, whichever way you go, and then you kind of go up, and there's this beautiful little place. And on there, there's this beautiful little place called Granite Falls. And Granite Falls used to be where they had a lot of industry, and now it's become a marine park. And we just anchored off there, and we went in to explore and enjoy. It's a beautiful place. And we got back in our boat. We'd only been there a couple of hours, and got in the boat and started to pull the anchor up, and as we pulled it up, we couldn't get it unstuck. So kind of a boater's nightmare. So we're pulling it up, and we can't get it beyond a certain point. So we know that we're caught on something. Trouble in 30 or 40 feet of water, you can't see through it, so you don't know what you're caught on, but you know you're stuck in something. So I was well anchored. See, that was the good news. The bad news was I didn't want to be. And I was trying to pull that anchor up. And so there's all kinds of techniques you can use to get unanchored. One of them is you just try to pull the other way. So if your anchor is like this and it's here, if you pull that way, usually it'll come out. We couldn't do that because we were anchored too close to the shore, but we tried to pull every which way we could. The kind of last resort is you put a lot of slack in your anchor line, tie it off really good, gun the motor as fast as you can, and just hit it. And hopefully you just pull it loose from whatever it's anchored to. Well, in desperation at the end, we decided to use that technique. And so we had our boat, we put in lots of slack, we gunned her up, and we really got going. And we hit the end of the anchor line. And you've probably seen a cartoon of a dog at the end of its leash. When the dog is just all gunned up and he's going hellbound for election in that direction, and all of a sudden he's anchored to something that's bigger than him. Well, that's sort of what happened with the boat. It was a little bit less of a jerk, but it stopped the boat. Now, my daughter's here. She'll attest to this one. It stopped the boat, and the whole back of the boat went underwater. And then we kind of got pulled back a little bit, and then it came back up. Dawn was in the boat. She was screaming and handing out life jackets and all the rest, you know, because our boat was big enough. We didn't wear life jackets all the time, but she was trying to get the kids in life jackets. And I said, well, we should try that again. And because, you know, a man, he just thinks, well, we just didn't do it hard enough, you know. We just got a little faster. We'd have really
She said, you'd have put the whole boat underwater. I said, well, yeah, maybe, but we'd have been, God, I'm, you know, we'd have solved that problem. We might have had a new problem, but, you know, that was all good. Don said, no, no, we're not going to do that. So Don, being the boss of our family, said, you know what your last option is, right? You lean over the front with a knife, and you cut the sucker loose, and you give up a perfectly good Danforth anchor to the deep, and you don't get to sink your boat. But, and you know, that I think that happens in life. When you anchor to the wrong thing, one of two things happens. Either you anchor to something that gets a hold of you and you can't get free. You got to be really, really careful what you anchor to in life, because some stuff will hold you tighter than you want to be held. And you can get into stuff that's addictive. You can get into stuff that's whatever. And it just holds on to you. And you think you're anchored to it, but really it is anchored to you. And it is no longer your choice. And I just see people all the time that have anchored to stuff that's the wrong stuff. And it's dangerous stuff. The opposite thing is sometimes we're anchored to stuff in which the anchor can't hold. Last week I was preaching about the storm, you know, and what you do in the storm, and I quoted that hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," and everybody who was my age and older thought, we're going to sing that hymn to close, but we didn't. And I'm talking about an anchor here, you know, and one of the things we talk about is being anchored to the rock, and you might think we're going to sing that hymn as we close, but we're not. But you remember that hymn, "I Have an Anchor That," whatever, "holds the soul steadfast and where the billows roll." And it's anchored to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Anchored to the rock which cannot move. Can I tell you something? If the purpose of an anchor is for these flukes to dig in, if this is on a rock, how effective do you figure that really is? One of the worst things you can do is anchor on rock, because the anchor can't hold on rock. Ah, it's just a speaker. It can't dig in, you know. And sometimes we're anchored to stuff that doesn't hold. When you're anchored on rock, your anchor just drags. You put it down and you kind of back the boat up to get it to dig in the way you're supposed to, and you just keep backing up. You know, and you're looking backwards, see how much further you got, and this anchor just keeps walking its way across the bottom because there's no way for it to dig in properly and hold. What you're looking for when you're anchoring is mud. Really heavy mud is the perfect stuff to anchor in, because the anchor just gets into it and digs in and just holds beautifully. So I have an issue with the hymn, just because obviously he wasn't a boater. But you know, it's true, you want to be, I'm going to quote the verse about being built on the rock. I understand that analogy, but sometimes we anchor to stuff that can't hold us. We anchor to philosophies and religions that just can't hold in the storm. One of the things is that you can anchor to stuff that just won't let you go, but the other thing is you anchor to stuff and your anchor just drifts, and you realize in the storm, what I've been relying on isn't dependable. And it really does make a difference. You know, it's just great to say, well, as long as your anchor's out, that's great. You know, you'll be good. Well, no, where is your anchor tied to? It makes a big difference. And that's why we believe that, you know, that God is the way to be anchored. And that's the last point, because we're running out of time. Is being anchored to God. Some of us have no anchor out. Some of us are kind of rafted up to someone else. Some of us are anchored to some stuff that maybe isn't as helpful. The Bible teaches we need to be anchored to God. We need to believe in Him. We need to acknowledge that we're sinners. We need to acknowledge that we can't do this life by ourselves. We need to acknowledge that we need forgiveness from God. We need to acknowledge that only through the death of Jesus Christ can there be any forgiveness. Only with a personal relationship with God can we actually be solidly anchored to something. And that in our lives, if we don't have that relationship to God through Jesus Christ, when the storms come up, we're going to be in trouble. Jesus, who was a carpenter and not a boater, put it in building terms. It's in your notes there on the back page, I think. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man or a wise woman who built their house on the rock. And the rain came down and the storms rose and the winds blew. In other words, the storm came.
And they beat against that house, yet it didn't fall because it had its foundation on the rock. And this morning, the question is, what is your foundation on? And maybe this morning you're kind of exploring and you're saying, well, I'm probably just drifting a little bit. I don't know if I have a firm belief. Or maybe this morning you're kind of rafted onto someone else and you're just saying, you know, like, yeah, I'm kind of trusting on their faith. And I'm just, you know, I always have trouble with that verse of Ruth, you know, where her husband dies and she's going to go back with her mother-in-law to another country because she's from Moab and she's going to go back to Israel. And she says this verse, well, your God will be my God and your people will be my people. And it's so wonderful, you know, except it's not a good way to go through life that your God will be my God unless you truly believe in that God. And the question is, are we kind of built on this rock? Are we anchored firmly where we are? And here's just what I want to suggest before I just come to the close of this thing. And that is that you probably are this morning, many of you. Now, I know there's some of us that are still kind of working towards this, and that's great. We're glad you're here. But let me just talk to the people that have kind of been here forever and had this relationship with God. Here's the question. Are you anchored in every area of your life? Yeah, when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. Oh, that's great. How about if you don't die and you go to work tomorrow? You know, which is sort of like the opposite of going to heaven. Yeah. You know, you don't die, you go to work tomorrow. Like, what are you going to be anchored on at work? Like, is God going to still be there at work? Or is it going to be, well, you know, in our work, we do this kind of stuff. When I was going to university, first married, worked at a hospital in Vancouver, so, you know, unionized employees. So we started at 6, and at 9 o'clock we had our first coffee break. And then we had a lot more after that, but 3 hours. And those 3 hours were where we did the stairs, and we did some cleaning, and we did some stuff. And it was literally probably half an hour of work, but it took us 3 hours, because that's what it took. And when you're a unionized employee, you do what it does, especially if you're the new guy. There was another guy there, he was a Christian guy, you know, you always come to the thing and say, hey, I'm done that, what else can I do during this time? Because he wanted to be honest with his time and he wanted to be honest with his work. And he said, you know, I can't spend 3 hours doing a half hour or an hour long job. I'll do a great job, but give me something else to do. And I kind of watched him and I learned from him. I thought, you know, sometimes the culture of our place is, you know, not to slam unions or not to whatever, it just was that situation that time. Happens in oil companies, happens everywhere. But, you know, there's corners you cut. There's things you do. There's ways you handle relationship. You know, when you drive your car, is God still your thing? Or is it, how fast can I go and not get caught? How much can I cut corners and not get caught? In relationships, you know, how loving do I have to be and how much can I just be me, you know? Are we anchored in all the areas of our lives? Yeah, we're anchored in the main and important part, but is all of our life anchored? Interesting question to reflect on. But let me just close with this, because, you know, we're talking about this anchor thing, and maybe this morning you're new in the faith, or maybe this morning you're old in the faith, or maybe this morning you're just struggling towards faith, and you're just thinking, you know, like, I don't know how big an anchor I need. Like, walking around with this baby would be a little bit awkward. You know, and the question comes, how big an anchor do I need? So one of the most popular forms of anchors is a Danforth anchor. And the guy who invented it is this guy here. And he's standing beside one of his anchors. That's sort of the style of anchor most people use these days on smaller boats. And the question is, it's just interesting, you know, how big an anchor do you need on your boat? You know, if your boat weighs 20,000 pounds, because I don't work metric, but say that's 10,000 kilos, how big an anchor do you need to anchor a 20,000-pound boat? Depends on the boat. Depends on a lot of stuff. You know the real answer to that? About 20 pounds. 1/1,000th of the weight of your boat. It's really all you need for an anchor. Now, it varies with the length of your boat. You can't stay with that as a constant formula. It changes because of all the forces and all that stuff that only engineers really understand. But the point of it is, it doesn't take a real big anchor to anchor a big boat if you got the right anchor in the right ground
with the right length of chain, with the right amount of line out, little anchor, hold a big boat in place. I think that's really true of our faith. You know, sometimes we think, I don't have enough faith. I need big faith. Yeah, it's good to have big faith. But you know what? Jesus said, it's in your notes there. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there and it'll be done. Nothing will be impossible. And when you're anchored to the right thing, it's not so much that your faith is so big. And it's not the size of your faith that's so important. It's that you're anchored to the right thing. And so just this morning as we close out, how are you anchored this morning? This morning, are you just kind of adrift in some way? And I really want to encourage you. In your bulletin is an insert about Alpha. And Alpha is just an evening thing. You come for supper, you get to watch a video for a bit, and then you get to discuss and just ask questions about this faith, things you've always wondered about. And if you're kind of drifting a little bit this morning, or you're anchored into hockey or simplicity or grandkids or a canoe, let me encourage you to come out. And we have a couple of introductory sessions this fall coming up. And then the full thing will start after in January. But even this Thursday night, talk to someone here at the First Steps. They'll love to talk to you about Alpha. But if you're kind of wondering, what do I need to anchor to? I feel like I'm drifting. I feel like I'm just rafting onto someone else's faith. How do I get a true anchoring and true faith? Alpha is a great thing. If you know someone that's kind of that way, invite them. Come with them. Bring them. And explore that. Maybe this morning you're just thinking, maybe I'm anchored to the wrong thing and I just need to, you know, I've been trusting on this and I realize that that's not probably, I need to do something about that. We'd love to talk to you about that. We have elders to pray with you. We have pastors to talk with you. Love to talk with you about that kind of stuff. And this morning, just that reminder, if we're anchored on God, it's not the size of our faith that matters. It's the size of our God that we're anchored to. And if we see God for who he is, we're secure and safe in those storms. So this morning, where's your anchor? What is it that you're tied down to? What is it that you're trusting and relying on in the storms of trouble, in the storms of temptation? What is it that's at the bottom of all that? And this morning, Father, as we finish, we just acknowledge you as the truth. We acknowledge you as the only firm ground to anchor to. Father, we just thank you for your love for us, that you would send Jesus Christ to earth, that we can have a relationship with you, that we can be anchored to something that's not just an idea, that we can be anchored to something that's not just an eternity, but we can have a friend in Jesus who is here with us every moment of the time. That sense of presence of Jesus Christ is so strong. And so, Father, we just thank you for your gift of Jesus Christ to us. And we thank you for what a grounding and what a friend he is in the storms of life. Thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.